How many glad to be here in the house of the Lord today? So the last 2 weeks, we have been talking about perceived hardness. Everybody say perceived hardness. You know, it's interesting because the Word of God will bring clarity into your life. The Bible says, the word is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. And so it will show you things and bring perspective and bring clarity in something that isn't clear. And I hear many Christians complain about their lives. But I run across all these passages in the Bible that talk about how awesome the Christian life is. Amen? And what Satan, his number one thing he wants to do is get you discouraged. Somebody say discouraged. Look at your neighbor and say, Satan wants to get you discouraged. Because his main deal is try to get you to quit. Wants to get you to quit, to give up. So, well, I did that Christianity thing for a while, but it was too hard. You know what I mean? The Bible says, you know what? Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. So you start looking at things, and what Satan wants to do is change your perspective. You know, it's like, I don't have to get up in the morning. You know what I mean? I don't have to go to church. I don't have to, you know what I mean? And he wants to make it where you start looking at this, the Christian life, as a drudgery. So we spent a couple weeks in showing you some passages, and these are in the Bible. You can look it up yourself. You guys know these scriptures, but let's go over them. If you're willing and obedient, notice the prophet doesn't say you're going to have a hard life. He says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the what? The good of the land. Taste and see that the Lord is what?
Good.
The Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Not cursed. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And then Matthew chapter 11, starting with verse 28. Come to me. This is Jesus. Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Everybody say rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find what for your souls?
Rest
for your souls. We're gonna look at this verse a little in more detail in a minute. But the Bible says, Jesus says, for my yoke is what?
Easy,
and my burden is what?
Light.
I could keep on going and going and going. The Bible says, if you set your minds on the flesh, you're going to reap corruption or you're going to reap death. But if you set your minds on the Spirit, the Bible says that you're going to reap life and peace. So what does Satan do? He says good is bad and bad is good. And in the course of time, just gradually, somebody say gradually. He starts, you know what, because your flesh, you get up early in the morning to go to church, and your flesh says, well, you know what, it's okay, you can just stay in bed. And your flesh starts whining to you and whining to you, whining. Your flesh starts dictating listen, when you start listening to your flesh, you're going to be in trouble. How many know your flesh can absolutely deceive you? That's why the Bible says, don't walk by sight, walk by faith. How many ever been going the wrong way? And you think you're going the right way. Watch this. And the more you're going the what you perceive is the right way, the actual farther away you're getting from your destination. Amen. Amen. I remember one time, I'll make fun of Tamara for a minute. Let me tell you about, let me brag on Tamara first. Let me tell you what, she is the smartest woman I know, but directionally challenged. Directionally challenged. One time, you know what? I was at Life Bible College, and I would go early in the morning, and I'd stay all day, and I'd take the morning classes. But then, so I could get all the classes in to just 2 days, I'd take night classes. So I was there from the early morning. I was there all day. And one time, she was gracious. She came up to visit me, and you know what? We went to that fancy restaurant in Los Angeles. We went to Tommy's. I would take Tamara to the fancy restaurants, and whatever. But you know what? It was time for her to go, and I said, "Hey," I said, "Okay, you know how to get home, right?" She said, "Yeah, I know how to get home." And she gets on the I think we met at Tommy's, and so you know what? I'm going back to the school, and she is going back home, and she gets on the freeway, but she gets on the freeway going the wrong way. I'm thinking, I just don't even get how that happened. I was just like, you know what I mean? What am I doing? So I do is way before cell phones. So I get on the freeway and I'm chasing her. I'm like, "Hey, you're going the wrong way." Don't laugh. You've done that too, haven't you? You're going the wrong way, and the more you go in the wrong way, the more you're going the wrong way. And if I, you know what? And if I ask Tamara, oh, just speaking to Tamara. See, that was the Holy Spirit busting me, huh? No. I do this in front of you too. We're just talking about your directionally challenged abilities. Oh, you did? Okay, all right. All right, praise God. All right, that's okay. But to me, all of us can understand being fooled in our flesh. And I'm telling you, as your pastor and as someone who loves you, listen, the more you have of God, the better your life will be. And the farther away you get from God, I don't care what your friends tell you, what your aunt tells you, you know what, your neighbor, your relatives, you're in church too much. You know what I mean? And then you start to tell them that you want to be one of 100 who are going to give $2,000. I'm telling you what, they will, they'll say, what do those things have when all the family members get ready and get together and they lock the door? What do they call that? They're going to have an intervention for you. Amen. Because they think you're nuts. Amen. Yeah, you know what you are? You're not smart. That's what you are. Amen. Amen. See, the life led by the Spirit, by your spirit man, is a life of, is a quality life filled with peace, Bible says in Romans. But I want to spend some time and just say, hey guys, in the course of time, don't get deceived. Don't start thinking, "Ooh, this is so hard." No, you're listening to the enemy that wants to get you to give up. You want to live a hard life? You start to go back to your old ways. No, they're good. They're good. Yeah, they're good for a season. Amen. For a season. I told you this one time. Tamara duped me, man. She had some kind of yogurt. Something, man. And she said, "No, it's good." Amen. And it was good for about, like, it was weird, man. It was like, I don't even know how to describe it. because it fooled me for about 4 seconds. For 4 seconds, it tasted good. And then all of a sudden, I never tasted something with such a kick in its life. And that thing just, I was like, yuck. That's what sin is. Sin is pleasurable, the Bible says, for a season. And you're disciplined, you're telling your flesh no, you're telling your flesh what to do, and your life is going to start to get better and better and better. The Bible says, don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap a good harvest if you faint not. And there are a bunch of people come to church, and they don't like correcting their flesh. Amen. But if you'll stick to that, Buster Brown, you're going to start to see it. How many know it takes a while for fruit to show up? Amen. Remember when you were little? You know what? Kindergarten, you had the egg crates. You know what? And the bean plant. How many did this when you were in kindergarten? Okay. Well, man, I was ticked. Because I'm like, man, I planted that yesterday and there ain't no fruit in this. You know, teacher, what's going on? What is that? That is an immature, that's a kindergartner thinking that way. Paul says, when I became a man, I put away this childish stuff. People look at Tamar and my life and they see the blessings and the blessings and the blessings and the blessings. Well, get in level 1 and then get in level 2 and then get in level 3 and then get in level 4. And when you get in level 5, Tamar will teach you, you know what? She teaches level 5, best level ever. Tamar will teach you that, you know what? Let me tell you what. She'll show you in our life all the seed that was sown. And that seed just comes back and comes back and comes back and comes back. And Tamar and I keep on sowing seed. Some of that seed, we might not see the ramifications for another 20 years. But I'm telling you what, I'm seeing ramifications of seed that I sowed a long time ago. Amen. And we are the benefactor of seed. Listen to me. We're the benefactor of seed that was sown by your mother and father-in-law. Can you say amen? Amen. And a lot of other saints of God amen. That aren't around anymore. Right. But let me tell you what, they were strong people of God who understood, I'm in this for the long haul. I ain't in this for the short haul. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But Satan will want to rip you off because he wants to get you to quit, and you're about ready to walk into a blessing, to break through something, and he just tells you, no, no, no. See, and your flesh, listen to me, your flesh, oh, praise God, how many glad you came today? And your flesh will just get right in with it. Say, yeah, you better quit, and you better watch who you're listening to, because you got to protect your heart with all diligence. Watch who you're listening to. Because these people tell you, no, 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 no. You can stay in that bad relationship. You know what? Listen, I'm not. If you're married, I ain't talking to you if you're married. I'm serious. I felt the indignation of God. I'm talking about if you're not married. If you're married, guess what? Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Amen. Amen. If you're married, you don't want, then you stay married. Praise God. It's hard. You know what? Well, welcome to marriage. Amen. Well, I don't think you should say that. No, there's difficulty in marriage. The Bible says there is. But just like what I'm preaching, if you'll be faithful, guess what? You're going to start to reap some benefits. Amen. Amen. And don't you allow Satan to start to point out all the things that are wrong with your spouse. Amen. You let the Holy Spirit start pointing out all the stuff that you need to work on. Oh, praise the Lord. I feel like rapping that one. I feel like making that a rap song out of that. Praise the Lord. How many are still glad you came today? I'm telling you what, pay attention to what I'm preaching today. because there's such revelation. But I want to go over these scriptures again because you need to understand the Christian life is the best life. You say, yeah, but wait a minute, Pastor. Listen to me. But isn't there some passages that talk about the persecution that comes? What about those passages? Well, let me help you with those passages. Let me quote, can I quote some of them for you? The Bible says in Psalms that many are the affliction of the righteous. See, I want to make sure you understand. This is not a church that, and I don't want to be accused of this. This is not a church that doesn't teach the whole counsel of God. Now, there's many churches that aren't teaching the whole counsel of God, and they're and I'll show you how they do this, and they're twisting the scripture or just taking a portion of the scripture, and you start walking away with thinking that the Christian life is a hard life. No, listen to me. The Christian life is the best life by far. Well, yeah, but what about that passage? Well, let me quote you the passages. One passage in Psalm says that many are the affliction, many, say many, are the afflictions of the righteous. Yeah, the Bible says that. The Bible says, and Jesus said in John 15 that they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Then later on in John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Yeah, Pastor, what about that stuff? All right. Is that true? Absolutely, it's true. How many remember when you were little? You know what? I'll date some of you. How many remember real Batman?
Oh, there it is. Come on, Adam West.
Adam West. How many remember Adam West Batman? How many remember some good graphics? You remember some good graphics? You know what? And they'd get in these. And hey, if you're too young, get it on YouTube because it's good entertainment. Go to YouTube and go to the internet, find it. And they'd get in these fight scenes, and they'd be hitting each other, conversation bubbles. There you go. And in the conversation bubble, it'd go bam and pow. So here's, let me tell you about Batman. So here's, and I would watch Batman with my dad faithfully. So here's how the Batman episodes would go. Mr. Freeze. How many remember Mr. Freeze? He was one of my favorites. How many remember Egghead? Egghead was a good character. The Joker. Of course, the Joker. Okay. So, the Riddler. Egghead. Okay, anyway. I digress. But they had some real, okay. So, anyway, all I'm going to say, here's how what happened. So, they're, well, I got all into that for a minute. Okay, so. So here's what happened. They have, Batman has these adversaries. And the adversaries would, in the episode, figure out a way to get Batman. You know what? I was watching a good one, and it was Mr. Freeze. And Mr. Freeze, at the end of the 30 minutes, Mr. Freeze has Batman and Robin in this, I don't know, he's gonna make, and the guy comes in and he says, will Batman and Robin become fudgesicles? You know what I mean? How are they going to get out of this frozen position? And then he says, and then of course the famous, Tune in next time. Same, somebody help me out. Same bat time, same bat channel. Oh, you guys, okay, you're good. Now, I said all that to say this. Believe it or not, this is spiritual. I said all that to say this. What's going on? Why is Batman and Robin always seem to come up to get in a position of persecution? Here's why. Because they have an adversary. In the last 2 weeks, I never said that we didn't have an adversary. I never said that. These passages that I just quoted you, when we look at the totality of the passage, are you going to find out if God promises never to leave you or forsake you? You're also going to find out that in these passages, God promises to deliver you. I'm gonna show it to you. I'm going to show you exactly. And even in the passage, even in this passage, well, let's take this passage, for instance. Jesus says, see, people, they really need to read things in context. I'm listening to Armstrong the other day. Okay. How many of you know Armstrong has a heavy accent? You know, and let me just say this. People trip me out how they're critical of someone who knows another language. Can we be real with somebody today? You know what? Be careful that you don't get critical of other people. Amen? I don't say this in any criticism at all. You know what? You know, somebody who knows two languages, you know what? They could be twice as smart as you. Somebody who knows three languages could be three times as smart as you. Amen? And they might not, you know, they might not be able to pronunciate all the words like you can, but you know what? They know three times. Armstrong knows at least three languages. He knows three times the amount of vocabulary words that we know. Six. Are you kidding me? You know what I mean? So I put that in context because I want you to make sure I'm not making fun of him at all. But I am saying, you know, I'm teaching you a hermeneutical thing that you need, a principle you need to understand. So I'm listening to him the other day, and he says, in the land, there was a drought. In the land, there was a drought. I'm like, huh? See, if Armstrong said to me, you know what? You know, in Kentucky, there's a drought. I'd go, in Kentucky, there's a what? Because I have no idea what he just said. How did I know what he was saying? Here's how come. Because here's what he said. How did I know what he was talking about? Because I put the context. Here's what he said in context. He said, in the land, there was a famine. And then he said, some versions say in the land, there was a drought. How many know what he said? What is he saying? Drought. Oh, he didn't. You know what I mean? I don't even know. But see, I knew exactly what he said because I put it in context. We have to do the same thing. See, like this verse. If you look up the Greek and Hebrew, and let me say this, for those of you who feel like, oh, I wish I could look up the Hebrew because it brings so much more depth into understanding. Just recognize most of the time it doesn't bring more depth in understanding. That's why you can read five different versions and you'll get the same words in almost every single one of them. You know why? Because it's a good transliteration of that word. But there's sometimes when you don't have to know Greek, but you can just get a concordance and look up these words and you'll get some understanding. But before, you don't even have to get in concordance with passages like this. Just read. How many know what I'm going to say? Just read the verse before and then read the verse after. Then read the chapter before and then read the chapter after.
in this passage, before this, in verse 20, Jesus says this. These people, I'm paraphrasing, won't let go of their sin for nothing. And because they won't let go of their sin for nothing, they are going to be in a worse position than Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is all before this. See, we have to put it in context of what he's saying. And here's what he says. He says, if Sodom and Gomorrah saw the things that I've shown you, if they saw the same things that you've seen, you know what? He says, you guys have seen incredible things, supernatural things I've shown you, and yet you still hang on to your sin. And he starts talking about the judgment that is going to take place to these cities who've had an opportunity. To whom much is given, much is required. Had an opportunity. Listen, listen, listen. I'll stop at this point. Listen to me. We ought to be on our game. We ought to be the most spiritual people in the world. Right here in this church. You know why? Because we have been given so much good teaching. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying this generation. Are you kidding me? To whom much he's given, much is required. And he is saying these people are going to be in a heap of trouble because they were given so much opportunity and yet they would not let go of their sin. And then, he says, you know what? Taste and see. Check it out. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what this easy is? This easy is a comparative word compared to those who won't let go of their sin and judgment is coming upon them. Is the light going on for someone? This word easy is a word in Greek. It's Christos. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. And it means, watch this, it's translated easy, but you know what else is translated? Kind. My yoke is kind. You know what else it's translated? Listen to this word. It's translated better. What's he doing? He's saying, come into our camp. Because our camp is better than what's going to happen to these people. Hello? See, I'm telling you right up front, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have some challenges. But what I'm saying is, put it in context, please. Because here, let me just ask you this. You're riding a bicycle. You ride up Whittier Boulevard. You turn left on Kalima. How many know where I'm going with this? Some of you who understand Whittier, okay? I delivered pizzas for Stuffed Pizza for years, amen. Ask my wife. She'll tell you all about it. You drive up Whittier, you turn left on Kalima. Where are you, for those of you who know, what's going to happen? You're on a bike. What's going to happen? You're going uphill. Now, for most of us, when we turn left, we start going, oh, man, this is bad. Amen? Right? For Richard, where's Richard? For Richard, he turns left, and what does Richard say? Richard says, oh, this is good, amen? Right? Now, Richard is smart
because he goes up the hill, man, and he's pumping those legs and he's getting fit. And whoa, you know what? I like Richard's perspective. He enjoys going up and he enjoys going down. Amen? See, we have to recognize that we have to give it perspective. This is a relative word. And he's saying that, you know what, in comparison to what these people are going to go through, where they won't let go of their sin, let me tell you what, the wages of sin, the wages, you know what a wage is? A wage is something that it's going to cost you something. What's it going to cost you? It's going to cost you a miserable life. That's why I've spent 3 weeks in teaching this. And I got to the end of the 2 weeks, and I recognized, you know what, wait a minute, I got to tell them. I'm not saying that your life, I'm not saying that the Christian life is an easy life, that everything's going to be. See, what does easy to us mean? Easy to us means, oh, this is good. I don't have to do anything. Yeah, and what we have said is this. We've equated easy with good. You know, open up your Bible and see what, you know what, you know who we're supposed to look at? We're supposed to look at the ant. Because the Bible says to the sluggard, what's going to happen? Poverty is going to come upon you. It's coming, amen? I mean, just don't do anything to your backyard, amen? You ever go down the street and you could tell? This sounds so judgmental, but I'm just saying, can we get real, amen? I say, can we get real? How many know, to some extent, you can tell. You know what I mean? Oh, that's a diligent person. That's a diligent person. That's a diligent person. Oh, that's a sluggard lives here. How can you tell that? See, nobody else wants to say. Because everything's overgrown. Just don't do anything, the Bible says, and poverty will come upon you. It'll happen. Amen?
Amen.
Just rest for too long. How many know the Bible? Oh, this is good. How many know the Bible tells us to work how many days? Come on, you guys should have this could be come out of your mouth quicker. How many days should you work?
Six.
How many days should you rest?
One.
We got a society for a great part, and they wanna rest six and work one. And you know what they call that? They call that good. No, God's not talking about a kickback life here. He's saying, let me tell you what, my yoke is better than Satan who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he's saying. Amen? And I'm not saying that you won't have challenges. You know why you're going to have challenges? Because you have an adversary. You have an adversary. But can I go back? And I'm only going to talk for a little bit more. But can I go back and show you the passages that I quoted to you at the beginning? Can I show you in context what they're saying? Look at this. John 16:33, I quoted it right in the middle. You see this? In the world, you will have tribulation. Did I quote that?
Yes.
Did I tell you Jesus said that? Did Jesus say that? Can we look what he said before? Can we look what he said after? He said, oh, the Bible said, Jesus said himself, in the world you will have tribulation, and I got tribulation. You better watch it. Because you are going to allow Satan to emphasize the wrong thing, and you're going to back yourself right out of the kingdom of God and right out of all his blessings and right out of all his supernatural insight. Listen, you walk out of the kingdom of God and you're going to walk out of his insight. Because it's the Holy Spirit will tell you, don't turn there, turn here. Amen. How many of the Holy Spirit wants to lead us to all kinds of things? You say, "Oh, well, I don't think, you're getting all materialistic. I ain't getting all materialistic. I'm just minding my own business, trying to go to work. You know what? Living in San Gabriel, driving down a mission, and the Holy Spirit tells me to turn, and I see this garage sale sign, and he tells me to turn left. Go to that garage sale. I think I don't got time to go to no garage sale. Before cell phones, you know, man. Tamara calls me, making believe, you know, Drew, what are you doing? Oh, I'm in a garage sale. Come on. What did you do? I listened to the Holy Spirit. And I look at that garage sale. I just starting to play golf. I play golf just, you know, once a year now, just letting you know. And if you're playing golf with me, watch out. Wear your helmet, because the ball could go anywhere. Go anywhere. Well, I'm just saying. But back then, you know what? I didn't have any kids. Tamara and I were married. I'd play golf maybe at least once a week, which was really cool. But I had these funky golf clubs that my dad gave me. You know what I mean? And the Holy Spirit told me, turn. Like, God, I don't know what you're talking about. Whatever. I've learned just do what he says. He's a cool cat. He's there to help you. So I turn, I get out of my car, and guess what I see? No, I don't see golf clubs. I see a pair of Titleist golf clubs. And a Titleist bag, and a nice bag. And I said, hey, but see, I'm so dingy, I don't even know Titleists are like the big deal, you know what I mean? I think Titleist is like some, you know, name brand for Kmart for all I know. I don't know. So I said, hey, how much you want for those golf clubs? And he says, I'll give you the golf club and everything, the putter, all the clubs, the drivers, three drivers, all of that for, he says, I'll give plus the bag for $100. I'm like, wow, $100, that's a lot. That seems like a lot of money. I said, can I take your number down? And he said, and I'm going to think about it. So I took the numbers down. I go to work. My friend who golfs all the time, you know what? Good friend. I said, hey, Pat Swanson. I said, hey, Pat, there's these golf clubs that I found at the swap meet, and at garage sale. And I said, hey, the brand is Titleist. And then I could tell, kind of like it's like, huh? And I said, he said, how much do they want for him? I said, $100, and that includes the bag. I said, do you think that's good? And I kind of saw some drool coming out of his mouth. No, I'm embellishing. But I did see the gleam in his eye. He told me this. He said, hey, Drew, if you don't want those, give me that number. You know what? I'm telling you what, beautiful clubs. See, can I tell you what? And that we're just talking about, can I tell you about God? He cares about big things and he cares about little things. And you're about to bat, and you know what? Because you're going to hang on. Let me tell you what. God's yoke is better. And Satan is the one who wants to try to twist your thinking to think, oh, this is so hard. No, let me tell you what. You ought to come to church. You ought to come to church Sunday, and you ought to come to church on Wednesday. You know, you're just trying to get me to come every Sunday and Wednesday. Exactly. Here, let me go a step further. And you ought to And you ought to shut off that TV so much. Amen. Amen. All the junk. The more God you have, the better your life is going to be. Amen. And you're backing yourself up out of the kingdom. And as you back up out of the kingdom, you're going to back up at all the insight of the Holy Spirit has to tell you. No, no, say that. No, no, don't say that. No, no, go there. No, I mean on and on and on. What's the middle part? In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Well, make sure you read the whole passage. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. I'm telling you this because you know what the Bible says? The Bible says Satan roams the earth like. Guys, somebody remember where this, what passage this is? Be sober-minded. Think right. Be sober. Think right. Be vigilant. Whatever. Be vigilant because your adversary. Why is there persecution? Because we have an adversary. But make sure you put the emphasis on the right syllable. Told you this before, my friend from Germany, he said, "He, you know what, we were talking one day, he said, hey, do you guys in America, you have those shoes, Adidas? We don't have no Adidas shoes, Adidas. We don't know, we don't have those shoes." And it took me about 15 seconds, and I recognized, oh, Adidas. Yeah, we got Adidas. What was he doing? He's putting this emphasis, Adidas. It's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, no, you got to put the emphasis on the right thing. God says, I'm not telling you this, look to scare you. I'm telling you this, that when you have this adversary, you're not freaking out on him. And then what does Peter say? Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, the reason why you're going to have some problems is because Satan's around. But don't freak out on him. Because let me tell you about him. Let me give you a revelation on him. He's not a lion. He is as a roaring lion. We had this little dog growing up. Buffy was his name. Buffy just barked and barked and barked. And just this little mutt dog, you know what I mean? And he just would, everybody walk in, we lived in a condominium. So a condominium had big grass area in front. You know, no breaks, just big grass area. And Buffy would bark and bark and bark. One time Buffy got out and he was barking at this, he was like a 14-year-old kid. And this 14-year-old and I'm watching this whole thing, very entertaining. And this 14-year-old kid would go like this and stop, and Buffy would stop. And then as soon as that kid turned around, well, this walkway was, gosh, from where he started all the way up the street, maybe a block and a half. And he's walking, and every once in a while, he'd stop, and Buffy would stop. And then as soon as he'd run, rah, 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 rah. That kid, I don't know, it's like something broke in his head. You know what I mean? And he turned around and looked at that dog, and he started running at that dog. And Buffy, true story, was running and twisted his head and barking. So crazy. Let me tell you, the truth is, if that kid or any other kid just could have kicked Buffy, just like a football, just boom, you know what I mean? That's a little too graphic for the dog lovers here. But I'm just saying, he's not a lion. He's acting like a lion. But who's he seeking? Watch, King James, I love the King James version. He says, he's seeking whom he may devour. Can anybody come in your house and steal your brand new, you know, 62-inch, you know, flat screen? Can anybody do that? Is it legal for them to do that? Nope. I mean, no, people steal stuff all the time. But see, if you understand, if you got like a sawed-off shotgun, and they come on in, and you just go, how many know they're not stealing your TV? Hello, come on, somebody. How many know they're not stealing your TV? See, what I'm saying, if you understand who you are in Christ, and you understand who Satan is, then let me tell you what, you're not, that's what Jesus, go back to the, I'll go back to the scripture in John, where was that? Thank you. These things I've spoken to you, that you may, spoken, that in me you might have peace. See, because in the world, you know what, in the world, you're going to have tribulations. But be of good cheer. Why? I've overcome in the world. Where am I? I live inside you. Do you understand this in context? We take it out of context and oh, you know what? Allow remember who is the lion? What movie was that? Lion King. Wizard of Oz. That's funny. Wizards of Oz. Remember Wizard of Oz? Okay. And it goes, you know what I mean? That guy, no. If you know if you really know who Satan is, and you really know that Jesus says, I live inside of you, then what do you have to be fearful of? I'm not saying you don't have tribulation. I'm saying recognize what's going on. All the tribulation is for you to get in shape. That's right. Amen? How many know adversity is good? See, we don't have a lot of amens on that. Somebody say adversity is good. It's just, you know what the Bible says? Fight the good fight of faith. Amen? You know why it's a good fight? Because you've got the Holy Spirit living inside you. Stop allowing Satan to rip you off thinking that, you know what, this being all sold out for God. Oh, I'm not sure I want to become a tither because of a. Are you? Listen, let me tell you. I'm just going to love you. If you're not tithing, you're nuts, man. Hallelujah. You're nuts. I am smiling. What'd you learn in church? Oh, pastor said I was nuts. Well, I don't know if the shoe fits, wear it, but I'm telling you. Listen. We had a lady in this church, you know what? And you know, she starts bringing the first fruits in. She starts bringing the first fruits in. She gets a raise. They can call her back and tell her, oh, by the way, we're going to give you over 10% raise. Wow. Now, here, you deep mathematicians, you tell me now how much is her tithe costing her? Causing her nothing, amen? Nothing. She was tithing. She got an over 10% raise. Now she's bringing the tithe, causing her nothing. But watch, but she's keeping on sowing seed in the ground. You've just allowed Satan to rip you off. That's all you're doing, amen? That's all you're doing. Oh, your pastor's just trying to get me to tithe. Well, who am I getting you to tithe for? Because let me tell you what I found. I found that God has Tamara and I's back. Had our back when I was working in Albertsons. Amen? I'm trying to get a concept over to you that if you keep on withholding what is God, it is not a good thing for you. Okay, praise God. How many learned something today?
Thank you. I was just sitting there thinking, some of us, I think a big part of the problem is, I watch people all the time quit before, right before their breakthrough. I watch people all the time turn their back and go, this stuff's not true, God's not good, you know, whatever, and watch them walk away. And I think so much of it comes from, we have such a wrong perspective. You know, there's a lot of crazy teaching out there about God. You know that, right? Have you heard that God's mad at you? A lot of people are taught that. God's angry with you. He's teaching you something. Craziness. And because there's craziness out there and we don't know what the Word of God says, you have to know your Bible. Then we get such a wrong perspective of what's going on in our lives. And it really roots from this one thing. Listen, here's what the Bible says. That we must, do you hear the word? It's not optional. Believe that God is a good God. It's almost as if God knows if we don't believe that foundational truth, we're in a heap of trouble. And that's what I see. People don't believe that foundational truth, and they believe a lot of the yah-yah that's out there. And so then they get their own life all messed up by their own hand because they don't know the Word of God. And they don't trust who God is. God's Word is true, whether you believe it or not. It just is. It'll never pass away, just the way God said. Many people who are not even believers implement truths of the Word of God, and the principles are still true, and they still work. Let me give you an example. Wasn't born and raised in the church. My father was forever trying to teach us. You know what? I mean, forever. It's like his job was to teach us things in life. You know what I mean? And he was forever trying to teach us. And so my father always had a word of advice to me. No matter what it was, he had a word of advice. And I remember being in high school, early high school, and my father wanted to advise me concerning dating and concerning this guy that I liked. And we weren't allowed to date, but my father would let, if someone wanted to date us, they could come to our house under his watchful eye, but we could not date. So that was happening, and as that was happening, we got into a place where my father wanted to advise me concerning this gentleman. And, you know, I'm whatever I am. I don't know what I am, you know, 17 years old. And my father would say to me, listen to me. I'm telling you. I know what's going on here. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Believe me. So everything in me did not want to take my father's advice. It was counterintuitive to what I felt was the right thing to do. But I took my father's advice. And I remember thinking, I don't know about this. You know what I mean? But I took my father's advice. I listened to him. I heard what he said. And I did what he said. And whoa, was he right. I mean, that whole thing spinned. You know what? It was like, wow, look at this. Look at this here right now. Now, the first time I listened to my dad made the second time easier. I listen to my dad all the time, but I'm talking about in this dating situation. It's like, wow, this guy kind of knows what he's talking about, right? And so but it was easy for me to some degree to do what my father was instructing me, even though it was crazy to my mind, because I knew he loved me and I trusted my dad. See, I knew the last thing he was going to do in the universe was hurt me. I was the apple of his eye. And I knew he had good intentions towards me. So, and I have that exact same relationship with God the Father. God has asked me to do things that I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I've just said, hey, God, I don't want to do that. And you know what he says? do it, Tamara. And I've done it in the face of that. And wow, was he right. Like, wow, this guy knows some stuff. You know what I mean? He's good. And you do it a time or two where you just take. But here's what I didn't know growing up. Here was my point. I'm growing up. Did I go to church? Nope. Did I know Jesus? Nope. You know what? Do I know the Word of God? Nope. I don't know nothing. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that my parents have been given to me as protection. That I am to submit to my parents because they have my best interest. They know. You know what I mean? They're trying to love me. They're trying to protect me. And even though I didn't know none of that, that's just the way it went in my household. And I was blessed because of it. Does that make sense? I was protected because of it. Didn't know God, but it was God's principles that were taking place in my home. Does that make sense? The other thing I want to say, when we said, is we're talking about this persecution and that John 16 scripture. Listen, persecution's there. And what God is saying, here, let me ask you a question. Would you rather be in a war with a gun or without a gun? You know what I'm saying? With a weapon or without a weapon? And that's all it is, because we're just in a war. It's just what it is. And God is saying, it's out there on everyone. But you can take peace of mind because I got your back. You know what? You can take peace of mind because I'm with you. But then we don't apply all the other stuff. I see people in the body of Christ. We got to make some sense of ourselves. You know what? I see people in the body of Christ. But what does he say to us? Resist. So many times we're not resisting. He says obey. We're not obeying. We don't resist. We don't obey. We don't do. And then we say, dang, God, this is not working. You're no good. What's happening? Right? And we couldn't even, I want you to just think for a moment, anything else. Let's just pretend I had a bad haircut one day. And the lady who cut my hair cut it with a pair of scissors. That's it. Scissors are bad. I'm never having my hair cut with scissors again. I'm not going there. Don't tell me scissors are good because I know they're bad. And from now on, when I get my hair cut, I mean, you could use a chainsaw, you can use a knife, use something, but do not bring scissors near me. How ridiculous would that be? It's ridiculous. And we watch and we, in our own life, look at, what did Eve do? Did God give her truth? Yep. Did he tell her? Did he give her instruction? Yep. But what does she do? And then when she does it, did he do it the same thing with Adam? Yes, he did. But when he does it, what do they do? They immediately start blame shifting. And that's what we like to do. We like to not take responsibility. We like to buffalo ourselves. We like to not be sober-minded and think that we're going to get away with it. Now, listen, here's what the Bible says. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So, because I got a bad haircut, does that change that scissors are the right tool to cut hair with? No. Scissors are the right tool to cut hair with. And I can mess myself up by saying I'm never going to let no one cut my hair with scissors again. I can do that all day long. Is it going to go well for me with that kind of thinking? It doesn't go well for us either when we don't take responsibility to know God's word, to know we must believe that God is a good God, and to trust in him. You ever been in a situation and it looks really bad? Yeah. I've been there. But in the bad, I just keep saying, Father, I thank you. Yeah. That even if I can't even, it's like so, that you are going to make this crooked path straight. Amen. Father, I thank you that you are going to go before me. Father, I thank you that you have favor on my life. You said, God, that I have favor. And I have favor because you said I have favor. I remember one time, but people, if you don't believe that, see, you got to know that, believe that, and go with it no matter what. That's why we walk by, not by. He hasn't left us out there like orphans, guys. We are equipped to live the abundant life, a peaceful life, a joyful life, a good life. If we'd just chill out and do what God asks us to do and quit being all babified and backing up on things, well, God, you ain't, and it ain't. Stop it. Stop it. He is. He always will be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not changing. You're not the exception. And we just need to know that he's God no matter what. I had an opportunity. I manage property management, okay? So I'm a supervisor for these brothers with the property. And so there was a new building coming up, and I really wanted the new building. A new building means more income for me. So I approached my boss and said, hey, I know that this one is coming available. I'd really love to be the supervisor over that building too. If there's any opportunity that I can do that, blah, 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 blah. And they said, well, actually, you know what? My son's going to do that one. Da, 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 da. I said, oh, okay. You know what I mean? If anything changes, if there's any reason, you know, anything else opens up, please let me know. So was I disappointed? Yeah, I was a little disappointed. You know what I mean? Because I was really looking for that additional income. Would have been cool. So it's like, it's okay. You know what? If it's going to come back to me, if it's God, it's going to come back to me, favors on my life, somehow, some way, something's going to happen. So I'm like, okay, God, you know what? If it didn't happen, then I guess it's not God. So I bet you, I don't know what it was, 3-4 months, did I stop paying my tithe? I didn't go, dang it, this tithing stuff don't even work. You know what I mean? I was trusting God for that building, and I didn't even get it. And God said increase, and there ain't no increase. Come on. You know what? Been with God too long, too much. Don't go there no more. Does not benefit you to go there. Believe me. So I said, well, Pastor Drew, and I said, well, guess, you know, well, it's in God's hands. So I come into work one day, and I'm sitting there, and I have two bosses. The senior boss was not there, and I was with the junior boss. And the junior boss says, oh, Tamara, I want to talk to you. And I said, yeah. And he said, you know, we've really appreciated all the years that you've worked for us. And I can't even remember all the other things. He says, you know what, you have done a fabulous job, and you've really brought a lot to our company. And you know what, the other day, you know, we were looking at some things. And, well, you know what, I'm sorry to let you know, and I'm sitting there, and everything inside me wants to do what? You know what I'm about to do? I mean, what am I fighting right now? I'm totally fighting fear. I'm like, oh my goodness, do they have to let me go? Am I about to lose my job? My mind is just racing. My mom was sitting there with me. I'm like, oh my goodness, am I going to let go right in front of my mom? You know what I mean? He's like, what is happening here? And so I'm just listening to him, and everything in me is saying, okay, just calm down. Everything's okay. And he says, you know, we were looking at things, and we've realized in all of the years that you've worked for us, And he's just deliberately doing this, right? And I'm just like, mm-hmm. You know what? And he says that we have never given you a raise. And he said, so what I'm going to do is we're going to give you, and what I ended up getting, crazy, excuse me, hello. What I ended up getting is this crazy raise. Same dollar amount as if I had gotten a new building. So now I have all the money for the building, but I have none of the work. Listen, when I didn't get the building, don't worry about it. It's in God's hands. It's okay. You know, Father, I just thank you. You know what I mean? You know what? Your favor's on me. You know what? You'll help me. You know what I mean? If I, there's another opportunity, help me. Help me, help me. Right? Is that cool? But what if I would have had a pity party when I didn't get the building? What if I would have said, this, you know, I've been tithing forever, and I was trusting God for this, and now I didn't get this? What would you rather have? The pay with no work or the pay with work? I'm not stupid. My life is busy. Do you understand that? I needed the pay, but I really didn't need one more thing to do. Do you understand that? I just go, at the end of all that, I just go, oh, I come home, Pastor Joe. I'm like, are you kidding me? Would you look at who God is? Is he amazing? Wow. Wow. He's a good God, and I know he's a good God, and he's got my back, and I know he's got my back, and there's favor on my life, and I know there's favor on my life, and it doesn't matter what I see, I walk by faith. Amen? And so trouble comes to us all. Disappointments come to us all. There's things that happen that we don't understand what they are. But what we need to do is just stay rock solid. Hey, God, what's up? Thank you that you're here with me. Show me what's going on. Help me through this, right? That's us. That's God's people. That's how we roll. We don't roll like we don't have the God of the universe in our corner, because we do. Amen.